Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back. This is Father Robert Nixon here of the Order of Saint Benedict, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Father Jean-Pierre de Cussard. Today is day 15 in our series of discussions, and we're now up to Book 2, Chapter 2, Section 8. And Section 8 is the final section of Chapter 2 of Book 2. And it's relatively short, but it's of such great importance that I thought it was appropriate to dedicate an entire podcast to it. It's dealing with the importance of faith and the mystery of faith. Before we delve into the contents of this section, let's pause for a moment to pray to God for the gift of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you call us to absolute faith in you. Faith is trust in things which we can't see, in things we can't understand. Faith is, to use the words of Saint John of the Cross, walking in darkness. Let us have the confidence to walk by faith, not to need the light of our reason to guide us. Let us trust in God more than we trust in ourselves. And let us pray to our Almighty Saviour, saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. In this final section of Chapter 2 of Book 2, de Cussard emphasizes the necessity of faith. He entitles this section, Great Faith is Necessary. Well, what we've been hearing about so far, this abandonment of our own will to the will of God, our focus on the fulfillment of this mysterious will of God, even when we don't understand it, our willingness to follow the path which God sets out for us, even when we don't see where it's leading, all of this only becomes possible to the extent that we have faith. And he tells us that total abandonment is as simple as its effects are marvelous. Such then is the straight path to sanctity. Such is the state of perfection and of the duties imposed by it. Such the great and incomparable secret of abandonment, a secret that is in reality no secret, an art without art. God, who exacts it of all, has explained it clearly and made it intelligible and quite simple. What is obscure in the way of pure faith is not necessary for the soul in that way to practice. There is, in fact, nothing more easy to understand, nor more luminous. The mystery is only in what is done by God. And then he goes on to give us the example of the sacrament of the Blessed Eucharist, whereby common bread and wine change their very essence, change their substance to become the true body and blood of Christ. And he points out that there's actually no complexity in the saying of the Mass. He says, well, not anyone could do it, but he says, even the most ignorant priest is capable of celebrating the Mass. But the mystery of what actually takes place there has no relation to the simplicity of the procedure involved, that the effects are truly marvelous. This miracle of miracles is taking place. And in the same way, this process of abandoning our lives to the divine will, to divine providence, is in itself extremely simple. He says it's a secret without secrets. It's an art without art. But nevertheless, its effects are completely marvelous. But it is hard to put it into practice. And he proposes the one thing which is most necessary to put it into practice. And it's not self-discipline. It's not excelling in any one particular virtue, in humility, in charity, or so forth. It's not even most fervent devotion. What it is the completeness of our faith in God. And I think faith is a funny thing. If we think about the prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There's a paradox in that, because it represents the state of all people with faith, because faith by its very definition is not a certainty. If it was a certainty, it would be simple knowledge. So faith implies that we're believing in what we don't really know. And for that reason, we're always on a varying degree of strength of faith. I mean, sometimes our faith might be extremely strong and secure. Sometimes it might be a bit shaky. And in fact, as long as we are mortal beings, our faith can never be 100%, because none of us can say that we have penetrated or seen clear evidence and irrefutable evidence of the mystery. And this is the whole point of faith. If it was something that was clearly known and completely evident, there would be no virtue, there'd be no merit in faith. So we need to cultivate this absolute faith so that we are willing and able to abandon ourselves completely to divine providence. And this willingness is not only an articulated willingness, not only a saying that we're willing or resolving or committing ourselves to being willing, but rather it's that really taking place in our heart. And the precondition of that is the strength and the solidity of our faith. And you might be thinking, well, how can I, you know, strengthen my faith? How can I achieve that? How can I dispel whatever doubts might be in my mind, either doubts which I express and articulate, or more probably doubts which lurk in the heart, which we maybe as Catholics, we never really talk about. And we can do that only by the grace of God, because this faith is in fact a gift. It's not something that we can possibly merit. And he tells us that the way of pure faith is to enable one to find God at each moment. It is this that makes it so exalted, so mystical, so blessed. It is an inexhaustible fund of thought, of discourse, of writing. It is a whole collection and source of wonders. To produce so prodigious an effect, but one thing is necessary: to let God act and to do all that he wills according to one's state. Nothing in the spiritual life could be easier, nor more within the power of everyone. And yet nothing could be more wonderful, nor any path more obscure. To walk in it, the soul has need of great faith, all the more so as reason is always suspicious and always has some argument against it. All its ideas are confused. There is nothing in it that reason has ever known or read about or been accustomed to admire. It is something quite new. And so he's talking here about the miracle of faith, which he says is not difficult. It's not difficult because it's a gift and a grace from God. Yet at the same time, it's not something we can achieve by reason. And he's quite strong there in what seems to be saying that reason has never known or read about it. Well, you know, he's perhaps using a certain amount of hyperbole there, because he's clearly a very reasoning and thinking and reflecting person himself, clearly very well educated, and has considered all these things very deeply. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to write so learnedly and so eloquently upon this subject. Yet he's saying we shouldn't put absolute faith in our reason. We should recognize reason for what it is, merely as a tool, like our hands or our feet or our eyes or our nose or whatever part of our body, we use them to carry out the will of God. And in the same way, what is the mind but another organ of the body which is used to carry out the will of God? And sometimes we use it by thinking how we can achieve something that we're called to do, how we can, solve some kind of moral question that might not immediately be clear, or how we can explain something in such a way that will be convincing and relevant to other people. So, of course, we are to use the mind and reason, but to use them only as a tool, not as our leader. The soul, of course, is supreme in the human person. The mind is the servant of the soul. The body, in turn, then is the servant of the mind. But the soul, most importantly, is the servant of God. And the extent to which we have faith, to which the soul really embraces God and makes him the primary reality, is the extent to which it will be ready and willing to abandon itself into his loving hands. So I think there's a lot of deep material in this quite short section, and it invites us to reflect upon our own faith, upon the solidity and depth of the faith we have. And if we find it's a bit shaky, we shouldn't feel guilty or we shouldn't panic, but we should pray very seriously, because it comes to us as a grace alone. So this brings us now to the end of day 15 in our series of podcasts, and to the end also of chapter 2, book 2 of this wonderful work. We're going to be continuing in our next session to embark on chapter 3, and we'll be looking at the first couple of sections of that. And he's going to be talking about some particular issues which can cause problems in the enactment of this principle of abandonment to divine providence. He's going to talk about our tendency to unwise interference and also our tendency to make unjust judgments. And I think these are all things which pertain to our fallen human condition. We can only ask for the mercy of God to help us to overcome them. So this brings us now to the end of session 15. And thank you so much for joining me. And I pray until next time that you may enjoy every blessing and protection and guidance from Almighty God. Thank you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.